Me, if you would, and just open up to Mark chapter 11. We'll be covering verses 27 to the end of the chapter today. Always a monumental occasion when we finish a chapter. So, I'm going to be speaking this morning on a subject that is probably not all that near and dear to our hearts, and that is on the question of authority and how to properly submit to authority. One of the largest organizations that stresses authority that a lot of people will have come into contact with would be the United States military. They have an authority structure. And from a early airman, private, seaman going in to the military, you are taught that authority. And that is an authority that is not at the time to be questioned. Especially in time of war, you are trained and taught to listen to the authorities above you. Now, going back to my time in the military, some 30 years ago plus, I can remember very well that authority structure. I can remember very well submitting to that authority structure, and I can remember very well not liking submitting to that authority structure many times. And even though in their presence I would submit, later during the day or when I had time to be by myself or with my compadres, we would talk about whatever that situation was. And it always wasn't a complete heartfelt submission. It would have been a head knowledge submission. So how are we with the authorities in our lives? I will contend that even though the sin of Adam included the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that all of those at the fall was actually a revolt against God's authority. As God said, "Do not eat of that tree." And as Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate of that tree. And since that day, God has placed different levels of authority in each and every one of our lives. We have law enforcement. We have government officials. We have the family unit. Everywhere we look, there are different authorities in our life. As much as I like to bucket, B-U-C-K, it, it's even hard for me, going on 3 years, to think of myself as a pastor. And I don't know why. But that is an authority that God has given me over the life of this church. Everywhere we look, there is authority. And Jesus is going to address it this morning. So look, if you would, Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 27. Now they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began to saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things." And this is the question Jesus asked them. "What was the baptism of John," John the Baptist, "from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why do you not believe him?' But shall we say from men?" And they were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been the real prophet. Answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to see clearly through your word. Father, not my opinion, but Father, help us just to look through and discuss and come to the proper conclusions this morning. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the backdrop to this, it's been a while since we've actually been in John or in Mark. And the backdrop is Palm Sunday is over. Jesus has already been through his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus then returns to Jerusalem, and he tears apart the temple, turning over the money changers and running everybody out that really should not be there. Now this is the next day. Jesus, Bible tells us, comes into Jerusalem, him and his disciples, and as he's walking in the temple, he's walking in that temple that he has just driven everybody out through, and the scribes and the elders come to him. Now I want you to imagine, kind of look at this, and imagine what the scene is like. The day before, Jesus had just driven everybody out. He was chasing everyone. He might have had a whip, one of the other gospels saying, you know, driving all these people out, clearing the temple. Now, the temple wasn't a small space. It was quite large. And the next day, Jesus returns. And you can maybe sense some of the fear amongst the scribes and the Pharisees. As they're looking at him, as Jesus is walking around the temple, and he's actually even teaching. And I'm not sure if the teaching is Jesus just proclaiming truth, or if people are coming up and asking him questions and Jesus is explaining to them. But the scribes and the Pharisees, I can imagine at first, are kind of sitting back and just watching. Because Jesus, as he drove people out of the temple, he drove them out with authority. So then they walk up to him. They've got questions in their minds, questions that they need answered. And they began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you the authority to do these things?" Because of Jesus' mannerisms, because of how he conducted himself, because of the knowledge that he had, it was no problem throughout his ministry years for him to teach, even in the temple. Even at 12 years old, Jesus had an air of authority to him. As he was lost, as he was not with his mother and father, but stayed behind at the temple. The authority in the temple came basically from who you were taught by, or who your the person that you named as your influence. It could be a rabbi of the day. It could be a rabbi that had passed on. But that's where the religious leaders of their day gained their authority, by naming other people. So this is the question that they have for Jesus. Where do you derive your authority from? And in many ways, they ask this question probably to trip him up, hoping maybe that he would say, I don't know, it's from myself. Having, again, something to use against him, as 2 or 3 days from this time, he would be hung on a tree to die. Where, Jesus of Nazareth, do you get your authority from? Now, Jesus could have started out with a whole lot of things at this point. He could have went back to Matthew chapter 7. He said, remember that time I was on the mountain and I was speaking? And as Matthew records, he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes. Or he could have went back to Matthew chapter 9 and he could have said, remember when I said this? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. Jesus, in his persona, in who he was the essence of all divine authority. And he could have told these scribes and Pharisees this. He could have told them, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He could have relayed to them that I and my Father are one. Do you want to know where I get my authority? I get it from my Father, because I and my Father are one. But he chose not to do that at this time. Instead, he asks them a question. He says, I will ask you a question and you will answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. So was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me. Now, this was not an uncommon way to answer a question back in these days. Matter of fact, I think we do it a lot even today. We will kind of ask a question or answer a question with a question. So Jesus says, look, I will tell you what authority where I get my authority if you will tell me basically where did John get his authority? From God or from man? And this drew them into quite the conundrum. For they said, they began reasoning amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why do you not believe him? Because they did not believe John. Had they have believed John, they would have started to follow what John had said. John's message was what? Repent and believe. They couldn't say that. They couldn't say that God had given John his authority. They couldn't have said John was from heaven. But they also could not say that this was just something that John made up in his head. This wasn't some man-made idea. Because John, as we talked about back at the beginning of Mark, he was truly the last of the Old Testament prophets. And that's how the people saw John the Baptist. They saw him in much the same light as Ezekiel and Isaiah and Malachi. After 400 years of silence, God brought John the Baptist. And that's how they saw him. He was from God. And these scribes and Pharisees, they could not say that John was from God. And at the same time, they could not say that he was not of God. Because the people would have rose up against them. So what do they do? How do they get their answer, their question answered? What answer do they give Jesus? And the Bible says, answering Jesus, they said, we don't know. This is truly a cop-out for an answer. They knew who they thought John had gotten his authority from. But they didn't want to voice it in this public manner to where the people would have heard and the people would have revolted. We do not know. And Jesus said to them, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, it really wasn't that Jesus didn't want to answer them. Because in all reality, Jesus had just spent the last 3 years answering that question. I mean, do you realize that the word authority is mentioned over 103 times in the Bible? And of that, better than half is related to Jesus and his authority. The scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the religious elite in Israel at Jesus' time, they did not want to bow to the authority of Jesus. To them, Jesus was a menace. He was a hardship to them. And they were in the process of trying to kill him, to get him out of their way. And had they answered that question correctly, had they have said, John's authority came from heaven, then they too would have to acknowledge that Jesus' authority came from heaven. Because John himself declared Jesus, "Here comes the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." There is no one on earth today that has authority to take away sin. No one. You can come to me. You can go to any other person in this church who you might deem spiritual. You might cry before them, confessing all of your sins, and there's nothing that we can do for you. The only thing we can do is point you to Jesus. God, through the person of who He is, has all authority over everything. And it's only by knowing Him, it's only by bowing to Him in submission, by His grace, through faith, that we recognize that authority. And I think even sometimes today, we find ourselves, even as believers, bucking God's authority. I mean, we think we know better. We think we know, and we think that our way is better than God's way. We're talking this morning. There's two laws that God has given us today. Love and serve God. Love and serve man. Those are the two laws and the two expectations. God has given us that by His authority. And sometimes I think we think the love God part is easy enough. I mean, we can justify ourselves in different ways. I did this for God and I did that for God. But how about the love others part? Do we always find that quite as easy? I know I don't. There's times I get annoyed with people. Dan, you're a pastor. Wish I didn't. But I can still love them. I can still care for them. I can still pray for them. And you know what? When I practice those things, people in themselves get to be a little bit more able to tolerate. I mean, my problem is I'm looking for people who are just like me. I don't know if I'm necessarily looking for people who are striving to be more like God. Because sometimes they look different than me. Christ is our ultimate authority. Every other authority on earth has been given to us by God. Read the verses on government. As much as we all can sit together and bellyache and praise our side and throw the other side under the bus, all authority is given from God. That 65 mile an hour speed limit. This one hits home. That's a law given to us by an authority. But sometimes we know better. And you can pick any other thing. Kids, teenagers, especially. You always seem to know better than your parents. Your parents are not perfect. As much as we think we are not. I was having a conversation with a young man this morning. Being a parent, we really don't know what we're doing until you guys are grown and out of the house. That's the truth. From cradle to 18 to 20, it's trial and error. And there's books that have been written on how to do things, but what worked for this person is never going to work for this person. Because teenagers are completely different people. But God has placed your parents into your life as your authority. I can tell you, at least for most parents, we're doing the best we can. We're trying to bring you up so you can stand on your own. And you can make it in this world that is going to be out to get you every time you look around. And that works the same way in every other authority that's in this world. Husbands, you are the authority over your wife. They may not like that all the time. But that is their God-given responsibility. Church, as much as I like to run away from it sometimes, I am your God-given authority. Never perfect, but I promise you I will always try the best I can. And when it comes to your eternity, sitting here today, there is only one person capable of having the authority over eternal life. And that is Jesus Christ. in a few days from this day that we're talking about today, he will have spikes driven between the two bones of his wrist. He will have a spike nailed through his feet. He will be placed in such a way on that cross that the only way that he will be able to breathe is to lift up with his arms and push up with his feet. His legs will be cramping, probably after 5 minutes of hanging on the cross. His legs will be in total spasm. It's said that for the most part, almost every bone in his body will be dislocated. He did that to be the Lamb of God, to pay the price for our sins, because he was given that authority. There's a world out there who does not want to submit to any authority. Prisons are full of people who don't want to submit to lawful authority. There's atheists out there who don't want to submit to any kind of godly authority. And sadly, much in the same way, there are people who espouse the name of Christ but will not bow to his authority. My conversation with that young man this morning, he was searching. He was trying to find a way to rationalize and put together why the things of the past 8 to 10 years, why he had to go through those things, and how a God could forgive him for doing the things that he did. There is no act that we could ever do that God cannot forgive us of. I told him, I said, just begin to pray, God, open my eyes to who you are. I said, go to the Gospel of John. Begin reading. I said, it doesn't have to be quantity. I said, if it's only 5, 6, 7 verses, read them. Dwell on them. Let God work in your life. And I pray that I have opportunity to continue this dialogue with him. Have you submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to listen to him through his word, to do what he says that we should do, and to do it joyfully, and do it in a manner that pleases him? It does no good for me on a Sunday morning to help Oscar and Waima out to their car if after they drive off. I'm thinking in my head, oh, I'm glad that's done. It's how we do things, in the attitude that we do them. God is working in our body, believe it or not. He's working in each and every one of us to draw us closer to Him. And we may never be 100 people. We were 55 last week. But that's fine. If we are doing what God wants us to do, if we're being the examples of Christ under the authority that He's given us, I'll be a happy pastor because I will see my children doing well. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the work that You're doing within us. Father, for people You bring into our path, Lord, that we can be a light to. Father, that we can continue to know more and more about You through Your word. And Lord, it's amazing with Your word as we spend time in it that how much more we can learn even from things that we thought we've learned everything from. Lord, as even today, going through 1 John in Sunday school, Lord, a book that I would think to myself I'd have it mastered. I've taught through it, I've been through many classes through it, but yet, Lord, we can gain more and more wisdom just because it's Your word. Father, grow us and strengthen us. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know You, has not bowed their knee to who You are, Lord, that they will see that there's nothing in and of themselves that they can do. But Lord, only the power of Your Spirit interacting in their life. We love You. We praise You for who You are. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.